Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Chin, lead servant and founder of Linda Chin Ministries Institute of Biblical Studies, where our mission is to enlighten, renew, and transform minds that lead to fruitful living. So on our last podcast, we talked about examining yourself, proving yourself, and knowing yourself. And it came from our scripture. Our foundational scripture was 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, where the Apostle Paul's apostleship was actually being challenged. And these people who were challenging him, of course, as we mentioned last week, were quite cruel, and they were using themselves as a standard of measurement. And the Corinthians had criticized Paul's apostleship and demeaned his physical stature and his appearance. And not only were they just being judgmental, but actually they were just being downright cruel. And one of the reasons why they considered his preaching not worth anything is because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:7 that Paul didn't charge anything. Nevertheless, his statement to them in 2 Corinthians 13:5, I'm going to read it in your hearing for in two versions. The New American Standard Version says this: "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" Now, that was the New American Standard Bible. The King James says it this way: "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate." And so he's telling them, since you want to look at me and judge me and condemn me the way I looked, and whether or not I was actually called to this office, whether or not I'm qualified to preach the gospel, whether or not my messages are true and powerful, he says, you need to test yourself first. And so this is kind of what we talked about. To examine means to interrogate, scrutinize, investigate, also meaning to test. Interrogation meaning to examine by questioning, to ask yourself questions closely, to ask yourself questions thoroughly, to scrutinize yourself as you are examining yourself in detail, with careful or critical attention. It is to inspect critically or to observe with great care or to examine with accuracy for the intent of verification or authenticity. To investigate yourself, it is a systematic inquiry to search out and examine the particulars in an attempt to learn facts about yourself, something hidden, something unique, things that are complex about yourself. And also to find out your motives, your cause. To test yourself, again, is a critical examination. It's an observation. You evaluate yourself. It's a procedure of submitting a statement, right, under such conditions that lead to proof. There it is, it's proving yourself again. And you have to pose a series of questions to do this. And we stated last in our podcast that the biggest room in the entire world is the room for improvement. So this is part two. We said to examine yourself, prove yourself, and know yourself. Well, how do you do that? How do we examine ourselves? And this is what we want to talk about in this podcast. So first, I would say to examine your public life. Are you dishonest with people? Can you thieve? Can you steal? Can someone leave money on a desk and you walk by it and not take it? Can you curse? Remember, now we're Christians and we're not perfect and we do things that aren't pleasing to God. We don't live a sinless life. But the thing is, we are examining our public life. We're examining ourselves. Are we dishonest with people? And how do we behave in public? Can you go out as a believer and sit in a bar and have a glass of wine? Can you go out as a believer in a bar and not have a glass of wine? Can you go out as a believer in a world full of darkness, in a crooked and perverse world, as the Apostle Paul calls it, and be a light among the Gentiles? Very interesting. I had a conversation with someone just yesterday, and they were stating how they were transferred from one position to another and that they preferred the position that they were previously in because that position was, they were working with people who were saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. and that this current position, not so much. And during that conversation, I said to that person, well, perhaps you were placed in that darkness in order to bring light. So there's a public place where God will put you in order to use you as his instrument. So how do we examine ourselves? Begin with your public life. How do you behave in public? Do you glorify God in your public life? What about your private life? Do you live without a prayer life? Do you not search the scriptures? Do you not read your Bible? Do you not have personal time alone with God in worship? Do you spend time alone with God just thanking him, contemplating, meditating on the scriptures? Your private life. Do you live life without thinking about God? Can you even go, say, for instance, to the mountains or to the beach and look out at the vastness of nature and not even think about God? Can you live as a habitual stranger to the Most High God, having no love for him and no fear of him? What about your private life? What about your public life? If you are right in your own heart, if I'm right in my own heart and say, I could not live without prayer, I have to weep over my prayers, but still I should weep 10 times more if I did not pray. So what is your answer to that? If you are right in your own heart, can you ask yourself those questions? Do you love God's people? Do you love the house of God? Do you worship in the house of God? Or do you constantly stream church and forsake the assembling of the saints together? Can you say that your hands are often lifted up in worship? Do you serve? How do you serve God? What is your service? What is your ministry? We have to examine these things. Let's go a little bit deeper. When was the last time that we actually wept over the condition of our very heart and then gotten up, led, and driven to simply and wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and entirely give our lives to Christ? The Bible tells us in Psalm 66:18 that if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. In other words, sinful thoughts cannot rest in your mind. And we know they're come. They will come, but we are to cast them down. And not sure if I mentioned this last week during my podcast, but recently I had a vision. And I was battling some things in my mind. I was in a dark place, just struggling with some things. And all of a sudden, I had this vision. And it was of tennis balls just flying all over the place. And I said, God, what is that? He said, that's what you have to do with your thoughts. Just like the tennis players, Venus and Serena Williams, you have to cast those negative thoughts down. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not tangible, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, that is immediately throwing down, casting down imaginations, which are reasonings and arguments and theories that we have in our minds, casting those things down, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or what you know to be true about God. And so we have to bring these thoughts into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And so this is what the Bible tells us. Now, if God tells us that we should do it, then he's empowered us to be able to do it. We're empowered to do it. So in your private life, when you study the Word of God, know that the Holy Spirit seals it in you. And the Bible tells us that he will bring those things to our remembrance, whatever the Lord has spoken. So when you read the word of God, you're reading the living word, you're reading what God has spoken, and the Holy Spirit will bring those things to your remembrance when it is necessary. And I'm convinced by my own experience that when thoughts come that don't please God, the Holy Spirit goes to the archives of the word that I put in my spirit when I studied. He goes to the recesses of my heart, pulls to the forefront those scriptures that refute the things that I'm thinking, refutes the evil thoughts and the vain imaginations. That's one reason why study is important. You need something to fight with. We're talking about examining ourselves and how we actually do that. We examine our public life. We examine our private life. And we don't really say what's on our minds, but we say what's in our hearts. That's why it's important to examine our hearts. Matthew 12, 34 tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the things you talk about the most, that's really what's in your heart. What you think about the most, that's what's in your heart. And that's what's difficult for addicts, for alcoholics and pornography addicts and drug addicts and shopaholics and workaholics. Is work is always on their mind. Sex is always on their mind. Shopping is always on their mind. And so we've got to study, because what we put in our hearts, what we invest in the most, is what is going to come out. I remember asking God one time to show me what was in my heart. And what I learned is this: He doesn't show us by pulling us aside immediately and giving us some laundry list that we can write down and say, yep, Linda, this is what's wrong with you, and this is what's in your heart, and this, that, and the other thing, and all of that. That's not how He does it. That would be too easy and not at all effective to serve as a catalyst for change. A laundry list does not serve as a catalyst for change. In that case, right, I don't believe that would be godly sorrow anyway, and wouldn't lead to repentance. But what He does is He puts us in a situation or circumstance that allows us to respond in such a way that we naturally would, and then our heart, our motives are revealed. Our character at that moment is revealed, right? And so when we respond in ugliness or hatred or bigotry or with rebellion or deceit or thievery, dishonesty or jealousy, right? Think about all these things: envy, arrogance, quick anger, lack of faith, judgmentalism. These are the things that are in our heart. And so that these are the things that immediately come out of our mouths. And so I'm very protective, and I think most of us are, of our families, and I'm protective of my husband. We were having a conversation the other day where something happened, and I immediately blurted something out in protection of him. And 5 seconds later, the Holy Spirit said, you need to show mercy. You need to show mercy. So I thought, my Lord and my God. So I began to ask the Lord, God, help me to be more merciful. What's He going to do? He's going to put me in situations that's going to require me to respond with mercy. That's how we have a change of heart. He convicts us and shows us what's in our heart. That's why examination is good. That's why if you're prone to gossip, it's not good to be around gossiping. If you're prone to things where you are weak, then it's not good to be around people who do those things. Be around those who can strengthen you and challenge you to be right and to do good, and who will, in love, rebuke you or speak the truth in love, right? So God, the Holy Spirit, quoted scripture to me, right? He'll tell you in a minute, right? He'll say, if you start talking about somebody and you've read your scriptures enough to know, He can say to you, speak evil of no man. He'll say things like, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you really, really love Jesus and desire to be transformed, you'll respond with obedience and even repentance and with godly sorrow. It's easy to forgive people when you know you have been forgiven of much if you pay attention and thank God for forgiving you. Sometimes when I name the things for which I have been forgiven, it is a reminder that I am equally to forgive others, right? We'll allow God to perform the surgery that we need. And just remember, this is what I say, is God's anesthesia is called sufficient grace. Now, He will perform surgery. He will circumcise your heart. He circumcises our ear. He circumcises the extra things that we don't need that can cause sickness and disease spiritually, right? And then He performs a surgery, and the anesthesia He provides for us is His sufficient grace. Now, it's important to know that this is all a process. Don't be impatient with yourself or fall into self-condemnation or self-loathing when you discover that there are some ugly things in your heart. The Bible clearly tells us that anyway. See, that self-condemnation is a trick of the enemy, the devil, Satan himself. And I have had Satan even use scripture against me. But what I noticed in my spirit is that the tone of voice was not of God. So you have to also be discerning when you're examining yourself to know whether you're being corrected by the Holy Spirit or condemned by the devil. So bottom line is, whatever growth that takes place on the inside, if it's malignant, cut it out, Father. That's what you want to say. And one reason that we are tried and tested is for Christ's sake, according to 2 Corinthians 4:11, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. God will not take his gold and silver by appearance. Every vessel has to be purified by fire. Every vessel. You don't buy gold and just trust that someone says it's gold. You go to a place that's reputable because there's gold filled, there's gold plated. You go to the real deal and you know that that gold has been tested and tried by fire, and so will we. And the Heavenly Father sometimes will use painful experiences to cleanse and purify us. Sometimes they're painful. Trials will drive you to the Lord. So then, as we begin to focus on him, we start to see things from his perspective, and we become more and more like him and more aware of our own sin. So that's why it's important to know to examine and prove and test yourself and to know how to do it. And additionally, God uses suffering to demonstrate his power to sustain us. When he brings you through difficult times, he glorifies himself. So I just want to encourage you to examine yourself, right? To prove yourself and to know yourself, whether or not Christ Jesus is in you. And greater is he that's in you than he than is in the world. This is to encourage you to get in the word. This is to encourage you to be a better believer, to be a light. The Bible tells us, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father which art in heaven. I hope you got something out of this podcast to examine yourself, prove yourself, and know yourself, and why we need to do that constantly. It is to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because, remember, our mission at Linda Chin Ministries Institute of Biblical Studies is for you to be enlightened, renewed, and transformed, that leads to a fruitful life, that leads to fruitful living. Hallelujah. Well, this is Dr. Linda Chin, and this podcast came from Linda Chin Ministries Institute of Biblical Studies, where, again, we are here to enlighten, renew, and transform your mind. Until next time, beloved, be blessed.